I would like to thank all of you for your prayers during my sickness, and it sure is good to be back. I will have to say, when Dr. Kim said, "And you can go back to work," I was a little shocked because the other doctor said I was going to get 3 weeks. So I was already thinking, man, now I can take off and go see my grandbaby in Texas when I get feeling better. And so I have to schedule that for another day. But I do appreciate all the cards. Y'all have been so kind, and the acts of kindness, the fruit and food and all those wonderful things. It's so good to be back in God's house with you. Just think, last Sunday I was listening to this broadcast on the radio, and it was nice to hear and to know that everything was moving along nicely. But it wasn't as nice as being here. And this morning I have two friends that are here in the church, Dr. Paul Becker and his wife Estelle. They are visiting here from Lexington. And so I welcome them. Paul has been a parishioner of mine and a golf friend for years and a chiropractor for me. And so we have known each other for a long time, and I performed their wedding a little over a year ago. So it is good to have them in our worship service this day. When I read the passage of Scripture that we have read this morning in Matthew, I looked at it and I said, you know, this is a reading that you wouldn't have any knowledge of what it was talking about unless you did some research and unless you understand Judaism. And we're Methodists. We don't have phylacteries. We got a book of discipline and that kind of stuff. And I said, what in the world? How in the world do we relate that to today? Until it got to the point that began to say, and they don't live what they say. They just want to put burdens on other people. And I said, now we can resonate with that. We understand those who, as we say in our common vernacular, they can talk a good game. We know about Monday morning quarterbacks. We know about all those that can tell a good story, but they don't follow through. And as I read this passage of Scripture and did some research and owe a debt of gratitude today to King Duncan and Leonard Sweet in their research and their writings on this passage, the reference was made that tomorrow is Halloween. And Halloween had its beginning in the Celtic tradition, where that one day during the year that the souls of people would search for places of habitation, and those who were good would be able to inhabit newborn babies, and those who had been bad would inhabit animals and that type of thing. And so the tradition had its birth back there. And then we talk about those saints, and then the first day in November, All Saints Day. Next Sunday is going to be, we'll be celebrating All Saints Sunday here. And we celebrate those who have journeyed with us and who have been a part of our life and a part of our story of faith, who have joined the church triumphant, the church eternal. And tomorrow, there will be those who will be putting on some false faces. They will be putting on their mask. They'll be going out and trick-or-treating and endeavoring to get some candy maybe at a good neighbor's house. And I've already bought me a couple bags of candy, and I know the routine. Turn on your porch light, and those will come and knock on your door. As a young boy, I enjoyed it so much that I went a day early, and somebody said, I said, trick or treat. They said, that's not till tomorrow. I said, I know, but I'm just practicing. But as I look at this passage of Scripture. And I think about the time that we are living in. I'm a little bit tired already of some of these politicians. And some of the stories that they tell and some of the debates, and I think, man, we still got almost a year to go. And sometimes we realize that even that those get elected are not always doing or remembering what they said they would do. And I think about myself, about my faith, about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I realize that from time to time, we all wear masks. From time to time, we are not what we need to be. Or maybe it's just me. I'm not what I need to be. When I read the passage that talks about taking up my cross and following Christ, when I think about what it means for my faith to be so precious to me, and the absolute joy that I have in being the pastor here with you at Main Street, to enjoy the benefits and the privileges of being with you, and then asking myself whether I am giving all to serve my master. I think again and I realize that the church is full of hypocrites. That the call of Christ, when we really get honest with ourselves, for many of us, it makes us aware of just how inadequate our witness really is. This morning at breakfast, I was talking with one of our church members here, and we were talking about the church and about membership, and I said, you know, the reality to have a church growing is for each one of us to be endeavoring to reach someone else for the cause of the kingdom of God. To share our faith with others and to ask them and to lead them into a heart-changing experience of embracing Christ as their Savior and leading them into what it means to be a children of God and to confess their sins and to ask for forgiveness. In an interview in the magazine The Door, the famed psychiatrist M. Scott Peck tells about the first time that he went to hear the Swedish physician Paul Tegnér, one of the most influential Christians in the world. In Fallen Tegnér's lecture, there was a time of questioning and dialogue, and a man stood up and he asked Dr. Tegnér, he said, "What do you think about all the hypocrites in the churches in America?" There was a bit of a stumbling over the English translation and the words as Dr. Tegnér endeavored to understand what the man was asking. And he didn't understand what the word hypocrite was. And several people offered definitions: phony, pretending to be something that they're not, unauthentic, false. And suddenly the doctor's eyes lit up, and he says, "Ah, hypocrites. Now I understand." And he said the word, and I guess I'm pronouncing it right. He said, "Si es mujer. Si es mujer." "I," he said about himself, "am the hypocrite." The closer we are to Jesus, the more that we measure our life by His life, the more aware we are of our shortcomings. And we cry out with Dr. Tirnair, "It's me. I am the hypocrite." Someone said that if a hypocrite is standing between you and God, it just means that the hypocrite is closer to God than you are. Tomorrow's Halloween. We all wear masks. And that's what Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about. He's saying, "You're wearing your religion on your sleeves. You're wearing the long tassels and the phylacteries, the little leather boxes. And these were objects that communicated to others of how religious they were. They had no other practical purpose. The common people, like shepherds and fishermen, they didn't wear them. But the Pharisees, they would put all types of pressures on people to obey the law and make sure that you didn't do one thing that caused you to be outside of the law. Most of us know many, if not all, of the Ten Commandments. These Pharisees had taken the Ten Commandments and they had increased them to 613 laws. I remember when I was in seminary and we were talking about people who are not wanting to violate the Sabbath. And one of the professors told about an elevator that was in one of the cities, and on the Sabbath all the buttons were pushed. And the elevator stopped on every floor because to reach your hand up and to push a button on the elevator was constituted as work. And therefore, you didn't want to work and violate the Sabbath. I remember as a little boy, my dad teaching me about things that you did and you didn't do on the Sabbath. You didn't cut grass. You didn't hammer. And I will never forget the day that I found a firecracker in the floorboard of the car and ran out in the yard and popped it, and somebody stuck their head out and said, "Who popped that firecracker? Don't you know it's Sunday?" And how guilty I felt. And the things today that I do or I don't do because of that upbringing. I was riding down the road with Linda, and Linda's an old farm girl, and we were riding along, and there was a guy out in the field, and it was a Sunday, and he was cutting the hay, and I said, "Boy, you wouldn't have seen that a few years ago." And Linda looked at me and says, "You would if he needed to cut his hay." She said, it might be the only time. He's trying to get it in before the rain comes. He's working hard. The harvest won't wait on him. He has to do it now. And I felt that twinge of, here I was being critical of someone who maybe is doing the best they can do. Jesus said the Pharisees tie heavy, cumbersome loads on people's shoulders, but they themselves won't lift a finger to alleviate that role. And what makes things worse is they don't practice what they preach. Be careful about judging other people by the mask that they wear. Marilyn Morgan Hillenburg tells about a creature that appeared at her door one Halloween. She called it the scariest creature she had ever seen. The rubber mask covered the young man's face and head. It had twisted features, a pulled-down mouth, a bright red wound on its cheek, and quickly, Marilyn said, she dropped a couple of her homemade baked cookies into the young man's sack, slammed the door, and hurried away, scared to death. A couple of days later, when the paper boy came to collect, he said to her, those sure were good cookies you gave out on Halloween. Yeah, that was the young man behind the mask, Marilyn said. She could hardly believe that Darren, a real sweetheart of a kid, she says he was so good-natured and polite and was working to become an Eagle Scout. And it made Marilyn wonder, could there be a lovable child of God behind some ugly mask that we wear? The person with the stringy, unwashed hair who sits near us in church, or maybe sat there last week, might be a sweet-natured child with little self-esteem. That opinionated man who seems so cocky, is it possible that there's a little boy behind his blustery camouflage hoping his fear won't show? The Pharisees were wearing masks. They were pretending a piety that they did not possess. Who among us has not done the same? There's one reality. Regardless of the masks that we wear, we cannot fool God. There's a song that came to my mind. Used to sing it as a young boy, and I can't remember all the words anymore. People often see you as you are outside. Jesus really knows you, for he sees inside. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. The reminder is, one thing that God cannot stand, it's a fake. Christ calls us to service. To service to him and to service to others. How will other people know that we are truly disciples of Christ? By our love, by our service to others. After Jesus pointed out the grievous behavior of the Pharisees, Jesus concluded with what was really important, is in showing our devotion to God. He said to us, the greatest among you will be a servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Loving service to others is something that can't be faked. Jesus didn't say for us to lead, but he said for us to follow him. To follow him into all the world and make leaders, not to make leaders, but to go into all the world and make disciples. What is the mask that we're wearing as a church? How is it we need to communicate the love of Christ? May Christ guide us in the way that we should be, to be his people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.